Welcome to episode 16 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. As always, this is Eric Barzeski. Joining me this week as usual, and after finishing up with his move, Jeff Smith from Washington.
Hello.
Howdy. And Everardo Kimi from Arizona, or wherever the heck he happens to be calling from today.
Today it's Arizona.
We also have Doug Hardman from CameronCollector.com.
Hello, everybody. Doing just fine. Starting to warm up here in Cleveland, so hopefully I'll be able to get out and golf.
That's right. If it wouldn't be raining, I'd be out right now, too. Let's kick things off by someone who has been playing golf and been playing it pretty well. Tiger Woods won the second straight four championship at Doral. Played pretty well. Where is Tiger's game right now?
It's on top of the world. The thing is that everyone keeps concentrating on how others keep losing the tournament for him, and Doral, I mean, he led wire to wire. It was his tournament from the very beginning.
-8 in the first round, put him on top of the leaderboard, so even a Saturday showdown with Phil Mickelson really didn't live up to the hype of last year. Phil kind of fell on his face on the weekend this past year.
That was disappointing. I was hoping to see something a little better out of that, and, you know, Tiger he's absolutely on top of his game right now, and I don't think there's, I heard something last night that he wins 25% of the tournaments that he enters. That's a ridiculous number to go up against if you're anybody else, and especially if you're playing against them.
Yes, exactly. Well, the thing I noticed about Tiger is, he's always confident, but he just seems so relaxed, and he feels like he's finally, come through some swing changes, and he's really got full command of his game.
It's starting to look that way. People are looking at the late bogeys by Toms and Viegas. And others, and that's I saw a clip. That's how he pronounces it himself.
I saw that last night too.
And he says, "That's right, right?" Like he doesn't know how to pronounce his last name. But anyway, some people were talking about late stumbles by Viegas and others in the field. And another touring pro I saw said Tiger had needed to make a par on 18. He would have made a par, but
right.
knowing he only had to make bogey to win, he played safe. Away from the water. I don't know that it's so much of a matter of other people handing tournaments to him as him simply doing what he needs to do to win. If he had needed to go to 28 under, I don't know that I doubt that he could have done it.
I thought something interesting on that was that if you were watching the last 9 holes, he didn't smile once in that. And then as soon as he putted that in, it was the big smiley Tiger that ready to grab his trophy and smile for the cameras. Just the level of concentration that he's had in the last couple tournaments, it's been pretty amazing.
Right.
I expect to see pretty good things this year from him.
I think he's learned to control his emotions a little bit more than when he first came out. And actually, just going back to what you said about him winning 25% of his tournaments, I read somewhere too that...
Everardo, it's a little easier to control your emotions when you're not spraying the ball all over the place.
we're
not seeing a lot of the,
I'd like to know what that's like.
We're not seeing all the expletives from him yet this year, but he's playing pretty well, so give it some time and we'll see.
That's true.
What were you saying then about...
Well, I had read somewhere too that in regards to him winning 25% of his tournaments, that something about him skipping his official event because it doesn't count as his winnings or something like that, there's a rumor going around, like, would he actually skip a certain event to keep his percentage high?
No.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
To him, a win is a win.
I don't think it matters. I think he beat up the kids in his charity, his first tee thing that he's got going there, in a golf tournament if he had to. not beat them up. I mean, beat them in a golf tournament. I should also point out that Annika's winning percentage is actually still higher than Tiger's.
I still think she's probably one of the best golfers of all time, if not ever. Her stats are just ridiculous.
27%, because she got off to a slower start than he did.
Oh, and wasn't it 50% last year, or just shy of that?
Last year, 50%, 10 out of 20. Yeah. Who do you see stepping up to possibly challenge him in the next, decade?
Not Phil.
Yeah. Well, no, nobody's really proven that they're going to go head to head with Tiger and take him down. I mean, no one has done that, and there's still, we're still missing that factor.
I don't think we've met the person yet.
Well, I think he has a double. He has twice as many points in the official world golf ranking as Vijay. So basically, no one is in his league. Period.
I don't think the person exists yet that's going to really challenge him and knock him off the top seed.
He's going to have a kid first. Maybe that guy will challenge. That'll be the next Tiger, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be something.
We will not see some Tigers at the some Ohio tournaments here because they're trying a tournament ball.
Is this the part where I'm embarrassed to be from Ohio?
You are from Ohio. So,
yes.
So, Doug, you get to talk about this. What's going on in Ohio?
I read the article, and I can't imagine how they're going to be able to pull that off and not have some sort of egg on their face somehow. It's not a really big tournament. It's not a really high-profile thing. And for them to be, testing like this, I don't know that it's the right time and the right place for it. The USGA isn't giving them any help with this, and I think people will look at it, but I don't see it as being, I don't know, I don't think it's going to be as important as they're making it out to be.
Well, what's happening is the Ohio Golf Association is saying that in one tournament they're going to try to find a ball that maximizes distance between 100 and 105 miles per hour swing speed. It's not going to be, they're not going to say who makes the ball. They're going to put the OGA name on the ball and that'll be it. People playing in this tournament get the ball for free. And
yay.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're doing a little PR stunt here to get their name in the news. I don't know that they're going to find the ball. My problem with one ball has always been you're going to end up punishing somebody. Whether it's Tiger Woods that you're punishing or whether it's Fred Funk that you're punishing, somewhere on that spectrum you're going to be punishing a group of people who don't have the ideal characteristics for that one ball. That doesn't help anyone.
Well, I don't see why you would take an official stance that it's going to benefit players in a particular swing speed. I mean, how could you take a specific stance that does that? It's just illogical.
Because 103.6 is the ideal swing, period, right? You know, I mean,
yeah, because who was it that swung that speed, you know, way back when?
The part that I'm worried about is the only Ohio golf, I think they would want to find a golf ball that was manufactured in Ohio, and the only one that I could find that was manufactured in Ohio is actually around the corner from one of our summer house in Loudonville, and they make like logo balls for Walmart, so it's probably going to be like you're hitting a piece of gravel.
Well, what about those little wiffle ball things that I've seen?
There you go.
Minimize distance at all costs.
Why
don't they just use the almost golf ball?
There you go.
I mean, they only go
like that little round tube looking thing?
No, it's the almost golf ball. It only goes like a third as far.
Oh, beautiful. I think this
or,
is like
or a, they can make gonna... people stuff feathers inside a little leather pouches and just play with that, right? Let's just go all the way back.
Let's go way back and let's go old school. If we're going to do it, let's go old school. We'll use wood shaft and the whole nine yards.
Right, the OGA will then announce that their name has been changed to the Old Golf Association.
Right. So. No, I can't imagine how this is going to play out and be any type of a success. You know, I'll eat my words if I'm wrong on this, but I think if somebody was going to do this and was going to do it on a grand scale, it would be like Augusta or something like that. And again, I think the game has elevated past griping about the golf ball.
We'll move on to Cody's. I've said all I need to say there. We'll be right back after this ad from someone who only advertises with us and has no editorial control over our site whatsoever. And last week's segment from Golf Gods that they forgot to send to us in time. So we'll be right back.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip,
trust your titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of thesandtrap.com.
This week on Chip Shots, Half Bag Will Travel.
If you've ever doubted that cabin fever was a real disease, you've obviously never spent an early March weekend in Minnesota. Perhaps the anticipation of the year's first round of golf causes some type of temporary insanity. Yes, folks, it's nearly spring break again. A question that comes up time and time again with our customer service teams is what makes a good soft-sided travel bag. The beauty of the soft-sided travel bag is its versatility and its compact nature when not loaded with a set of clubs. When choosing a travel case of the soft-sided variety, the cost, quality, and performance usually comes down to these three factors. Material. What is the base fabric of the bag? Components and construction, such as quality zippers and inline skate wheels, affect the price and performance of the bag. And lastly, extras like pockets, quality handles, and warranties also drive up the cost. For the sake of brevity, I'll dissect the Club Glove burst-proof travel bag with wheels. So, in this case, what does $149 get you in this golf bag? Well, Club Glove manufactures this bag with 1,000 denier Cordura Plus. Cordura, especially at the 1,000 denier, is a good choice for a travel bag. Cordura nylon's chief characteristic is its abrasion and tear resistance. Cheaper travel covers will often downgrade the fabric to polyester, which looks nearly identical but only offers a fraction of the strength. On the component side, Club Glove chooses to use authentic YKK zippers. Normally, one might be skeptical of the importance of such a choice, but YKK is the Rolls-Royce of zippers, and there's nothing more frustrating than a fouled zipper. Club Glove also uses inline skate wheels with top quality bearings. You'll notice the difference rolling from the luggage carousel to your rental car when compared to standard wheels. The devil, they say, is in the details. Lastly, extras. Since your bag will likely be stuffed with laundry or purchases from the trip, a little extra space and some pockets will come in handy on the way home. While this bag is downsized to fit an 8.5-inch bag, the two interior shoe pockets make keeping organized easy. There's still enough space left over for a few extra items, too. Oh yeah, one last thing. Club Glove offers this bag in black, navy, hunter green, and khaki. With the ubiquity of black bags, the staff of Golf God strongly advocates choosing a color other than black in order to make spotting your travel bag on the carousel just a tad easier. Well, that's it for Chip Shots this week, brought to you by the staff at GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of TheSandTrap.com. Now back to this week's podcast.
And welcome back. Thank you once again for not exerting any editorial control whatsoever over what we may say at any given moment, ever. Let's move into our forum topic here of the week, spring golf rituals. I just started this one because it's 55 degrees outside, and if it weren't raining, I'd be out playing golf right now. Doug's in Cleveland, so similar weather, and Jeff, I don't know, he get to play a little bit more than we do over here, but I'm sure you still have some spring golf rituals. What are they? Everall has been instructed to remain silent this entire segment.
I'm disqualified.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I just regripped my clubs. I got some new grips on there.
What'd you put
and
on?
I'm Golf Pride Tour Velvets. So I put a set of those on, everything but the putter. And I'm eyeing some new equipment so that, you know, that'll kind of fill me out, get me ready for the spring. A new shaft and perhaps a hybrid there. Cleaning them up, you know, and basically I'm just working on my swing. I'm trying to think of, you know, of where I need to be in the swing, keep the swing on plane. Watch that over-the-top movement we're going to see pretty soon. So.
That's right. Doug, how about you?
Well, I've been all winter long determined and bound and all that to improve my game. So I've been taking lessons every other week for about 8 weeks now. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Is that in a dome or?
Well, you know, in a dome, in a simulator, you know, into a net with our pro. Just, you know, if I can get my swing down, I figure I'll, you know, the rest of it will kind of take care of itself. I'm in a dome a couple days a week, so that, you know, inside of 50 yards, I'm, you know, I've been practicing a lot.
You hit off most mats there?
Yeah, well, they have mats, and it's a newer mat that's actually pretty decent. Wasn't bad. But most of the time, I spend the first 4 or 5 weeks of the spring trying to find all the stuff that I've purchased over the winter that I've hidden from my wife. So I got under beds to look at. I've got, you know, behind refrigerators. I've got in the basement and nooks and crannies and all the little doodads that I've bought. So.
Under a giant lint ball.
Exactly, yeah.
I've avoided the dome this past winter because I think it did more to hurt my game than it did to help it the past winter, because hitting off a mat is nothing like hitting off grass. If it's a poor quality or medium quality mat, you may have some different ones, Doug, but I found that it really doesn't help. You get absolutely no feedback. It's good for staying loose, so I have been going occasionally to just swing and, you know, hit some half wedges and things like that just to retain the feel of a ball hitting a club. But I've really not done a whole lot. But my spring ritual starts yesterday, I suppose. You know, I clean my clubs. I make sure I got everything in my golf bag that I need. I swap out the old rule book for the new rule book, things like that. Make sure I got tees and everything that I need. Of course, you know, I think three of those zero friction tees will last me all year, so I'm set for next. I'm set for the next 30 years on those.
That's right.
But, you know, check out my golf shoes, make sure they're clean, and whether I need new ones, things like that. But, really starting to get ready, you know, check the weather a little more often than I used to during the winter, that kind of stuff. But if you have thoughts, if you have some interesting spring rituals for getting ready to play golf, we'll have the link in our show notes, and you can pop onto our forum and share those with us. We'd be interested to hear what you do to get ready to hit the links. And we'll be right back once again from someone, whatever.
Who has no editorial control over
no editorial control. But they make some nice stuff, and that's just my own personal opinion, so we'll be right back.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your tightest.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back. This week in our Beating Ball segment, we're going to lead off with someone who's taking a few weeks off. Vijay Singh has decided that he withdrew from the Honda at Mirasol and is taking a few weeks off. Pretty much unheard of for Vijay Singh to do this. What do you think's going on with him?
I think it's the smartest thing he could do. I think the real danger with Singh right now is he can play himself right into a rut. You know, I mean, all his practice paid off in 2004, but I think it's really wise that he takes some strategic time off. And that's maybe what he's thinking in preparation for the Masters.
I think it's a good move for him. Sometimes you just need to walk away a little bit. And yeah, exactly. With this guy hitting thousands and thousands of balls a day, he's going to put himself into a rut.
He's taking a few weeks out to tweak some things. Go ahead, Doug.
Didn't he start early? Didn't he start like with over in Africa or something? He started earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, he played a few more events than
over. Yeah, he's pretty much stuck to his play almost every tournament routine this year too. But his worst finish this year, if I'm not mistaken, is 24th. So it's not like he's really in too much of a rut. Mm-hmm. But he's not been hovering around the lead yet either. So
well, that's the thing. For like any other player, it's probably not a rut. For Vijay, it is.
Yeah, Vijay saying tweaking something is probably something to be concerned about, not to be happy about. So we'll see.
Well, if he's changing something, I mean, he's had a pretty consistent swing and a pretty consistent everything for several years now. So, you know, if he needs to take a couple weeks to tweak something, I mean, I think the guy's definitely earned it.
Maybe he's taking a couple weeks off to get used to that tournament ball.
Yeah. He's in Ohio practicing.
That could be it. That's important stuff.
He's like, wow, 240 yards. I really smacked that one. So, speaking of, we talked about Camilo Villegas earlier. Is he better than Sergio?
I think there's a lot of people that are better than Sergio, actually. But
are you looking at now or the same age?
Right now.
Sergio was. Oh, then absolutely.
They're almost the same age.
You know, I think he's got a fire and a passion that Sergio didn't have at that age and at that stage of his career.
Well, Sergio came onto the scene when he was 17. Like I said, they're almost the same age right now. I mean, Camilo went to college. He's, 22, 23, or 24 or so. Sergio's 25, I think. You know, he's not that old. They're about the same age.
Yeah.
So who's the better golfer right now, and who do you think will have the better career?
Well, I think Camilo comes onto the tour with a bit better swing. He's more solid. You know, you'll remember Sergio with his, you know, his routine to get ready to hit a shot, and I think Camilo's, you know, much more confident at this stage than Sergio ever was.
Camilo can putt.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Except,
a lot better than Sergio.
2 to 4 feet. Well, that's true, too. I don't know if Sergio would have made those ones at Doral either. You guys are putting Camilo over a guy that's played successfully and done well in Ryder Cups, has won tournaments on the PGA and European tours, things like that. You're going to stick with that?
Why I kind of asked, if you're comparing him now or then, because, I mean, Sergio's got a lot of experience.
Right now, it's obvious who's playing better in the past 3 weeks.
I'm going with Sergio.
Okay.
Because he has more experiences, and he's been in different competitions and different settings.
When it's all said and done, who will have the better career?
I'm going Sergio.
Me too.
I'm not. I'll go with the latter and say Camilo's got the better. It will have the better career long term.
And Jack,
I think he's got more of a passion than we saw with Sergio early on, and especially even now. And don't underestimate the Latin factor, if you will, on there, because he's got a gallery of people that aren't used to golfing that are following him around now. So he may be a driving force a lot like Tiger was early on. Now I'm certainly not comparing him to Tiger, but I think their galleries are going to have similar types of people in them, where, you know, you've got somebody that's pulling for a particular country or a particular, just I see them as being comparable in that regard.
Okay, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm gonna step out on a limb here. I mean, it's kind of 50-50 for me, but I'm gonna go with Camilo. Just because of the swing factor, the confidence factor, I think we've seen what could be indicative of, like, the rest of his season. We're finishing real high. Okay. Or the rest of his career.
All right. Well, Camilo is part of the resurgence of the Cobra brand, you could say. Jeff Ogilvie just won the match play. Camilo is playing well. Kevin Na is usually doing well, kind of missing in action this year. You know,
JB Holmes.
So a lot of good players out there that are making news early. I mean, they really have a small staff of 5 or 6 players. Every one of them has been in the news this year for good things.
Well,
that gamble really paid off for them.
Yeah, they chose the right players.
You know, I'm very excited about this, only because it's the younger man's Titleist, if you will. When you think of Titleist, you think of the more older, established player. There isn't really... Yeah, well...
27, again, what are we talking about?
Well, I'm just saying that generally speaking, you know, Cobra is more of a, I mean, the last person I can remember, you know, playing Cobra stuff was Tiger's driver at the Masters, but then before that it was Greg Norman. And really, they haven't had a stellar star like this in a long time. And for them to come out of the gate this year with some really impressive people, with some really impressive finishes, it really, I think it elevates the whole Fortune Brands brand, if you will.
Were you paid to say that?
No, I was given no sponsorship and no anything and yada yada. But, you know, I see this a lot like Toyota and Scion, if you will. You know, Toyota has the established brand, and then Scion comes out, and that's for the new, you know, hip, funky kids. I think they've got a good group of people that are going to be really good for their brand this year.
Well, see, I've always looked at it as Titleist being the players line, you know, the better players, the single-digit type of line. Cobra being more the higher handicapper game improvement kind of line.
So. Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of these guys are wearing the Cobra hat and playing a Cobra driver, maybe a fairway wood, but they have Titleist irons in their bag.
Nope, some of them don't, and within 3 to 4 weeks, Titleist and Cobra expect them to be completely full on. Ian Poulter, we forgot to mention him. He's a Cobra staff member as well.
There you go.
But he hasn't really been in the news yet. He's still playing his TaylorMade driver, his old R7, but is switching over to the Cobra driver, the Speed Series and stuff, within the next few weeks, days. They thought they had him in it for the Doral, but he switched back at the last minute.
You know, so they're developing Cobra irons for these players?
Well, yeah. Camilo Villegas and JB Holmes already have them in their bag, and they've been using them for the past couple weeks.
They're Cobra branded. You know, they may not be stuff you can buy off a shelf, but they're going to have the Cobra brand on.
You know, I think this is, it's if I'm on tour right now, that would be the brand I'd want to play with, because you could, if you're, well, that would just be me, I guess, but, you know, you've got FootJoy on your feet then, you've got, you can play Titleist balls, you've got, you know, the Cobra stuff. I'm going to be partial to the Cameron putters, but I think that's a really good package, especially for these young guys that are just coming up.
Yeah, you got the whole package, so no dueling sponsorships with FootJoy and Cleveland Golf or something like that.
Exactly.
Rory Sabatini, the player of the month, had a good West Coast swing, won the West Coast swing. Like you said, was fifth on our Bunkers Dozen. How good is Rory Sabatini playing now?
I think he's grown up, and he even mentioned that in an interview once, is that he's learned to control his emotions a little bit better and learning to not be as immature as he used to be.
Well, he's had his second kid now, I believe. I guess the first one didn't do it for him. Maybe the second time's a charm.
Right.
But basically, I think his the interview you're talking about, his wife said, maybe it's time for you to start acting like you're 30.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Or something like that. And he said he's trying to be a better person in his 30s than he was in his 20s. Obviously, you know, he was somewhat jokingly named our Jackass of the Week, really kind of the Jackass of the Year last year for his behavior towards Ben Crane in the one tournament. So hopefully, you know, maybe he realizes there are better ways to handle that kind of stuff.
Well, I wonder if that single event really was a defining moment for him to say, hey, you know, I got to just suck it up and get out there and be a good competitor. And that's really, and that's really helped him play better.
It may be that, because his play has certainly picked up. He's always been a good, strong player, but now he's turning into someone who's, you know, if his name's up there at the top of the leaderboard early this year, you know, you're looking at him.
I think he's going to be a pretty good brand overall. I mean, he's a handsome guy. He's younger. He's got the kids. He's got the, you know, the hot wife. He's got the whole, you know, he's got the game. I think, you know, it's one of those situations where you'll see, like, a basketball player or any other sport, really. You see a guy and you're like, how can he blow it like that? And I think, you know, with a little bit of maturity, he's going to be, you know, long-term a really good golfer. And, you know, good for the sport and good for stuff all around.
Well, let's move from the player of the month to the playmate. I mean, Natalie Gulbis, I guess, you know, posed for FHM again in her bikini routine. She's effectively branded herself as well. You know, she's the sexy golfer. So it's tough for anyone else to encroach on that, too. I mean, that's how she's known. We've asked before if she's going to win this year. Doug, you're new to this, so you haven't given your opinion yet.
Yeah,
Natalie Gulbis win this year?
I hope she does. I hope she does for her, because I think she's a nice person. You know, her reality show stint was fun to watch, but you know, you feel bad for somebody that, I mean, all the ladies really are in Annika's shadow at all times, and I'd like to see them all win at some point.
So
how's that for a non-committal answer?
Will she win this year?
Will she win this year?
On the LPGA Tour.
I'm gonna say no.
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 Jeff and Everardo and I think we've all said yes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope she does, but I don't think she will.
It's funny. The FHM page, they got the title wrong. They misspelled her name. As of right now, it says Natalie Gulbis.
I'm just hoping that we don't have to see John Daly in a swimsuit with his calendar.
Well, I've seen him without much clothes on, with a bunch of naked topless girls. But, you know, he's got a gut.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we haven't seen him in a swimsuit, so...
We have. If you've watched his show at all, he's in a swimsuit quite often with his naked kids in the swimming pool.
Oh, see, I have three of his episodes backed up on the TiVo, so maybe I'll skip those.
That's why I said I hope we don't have that calendar to deal with. But, you know, I think she's good for golf. I can't wait till Michelle Wee is old enough to do a swimsuit calendar.
No.
Yeah, well,
I have no comment.
There you go.
I don't find Nichole that attractive. I'll say that.
See, I don't think Natalie's that attractive. So.
Me either.
Yeah.
No, she's a bit of a trendsetter. I mean, you know, she's not the first, but she's the first kind of gal that's gotten out there and done the swimsuit thing. And I think you're going to find more and more that girls coming up into the LPGA, much to the happiness of men everywhere, are going to, you know, kind of choose this route.
Pebble Beach, Jeff. What's up here?
Well, we've got a golf course in Wisconsin that has developed a replica to Pebble Beach, and Pebble Beach has won a federal case against this replica course, and so there's an injunction against the course, and from what I understand, no one can play there now.
If you build it, they will sue.
Yes, they will. And apparently, they've got the rights on the layout, so you can't do it. Maybe it's the name. I'm not sure why they would prevent someone from having a replica course. But
in addition,
I'd love to play it.
Northern Bay was prohibited from stating or implying that its Pebble Beach inspired hole is a replica of or inspired by a hole from Pebble Beach. So maybe they just can't say Pebble Beach, but technically they could build replicas if they want.
I think that if nobody would have said anything, this wouldn't be a news story. I think they're getting more publicity off of this being a story than they would have if they would have just left well enough alone and let, you know, some podunk place in Wisconsin have a hole that, you know, was a replica of something else.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Well, there's the Bears Best, or, you know, one of those places, you know, where Nicklaus took his favorite holes that he designed and put them into an 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, but he owns the rights to his designs.
Does he? Because, I mean, if I build something for somebody, I mean, I do software development. If I build something for somebody, it becomes theirs at the end. Certainly the name of it isn't mine.
It might be the difference in the contract, though.
It might be, but, you know, I'm just hoping someone sues Jack Nicklaus for... copying his own holes.
Nicholas probably has a little better lawyers and contract attorneys than you do, so I don't know that, you know, he probably has some rights to retain stuff like that, and it's Jack. I mean, if he calls and says, hey, I'm building a golf course and I'm going to feature a hole that I did here, what are they going to say?
Okay, you guys are taking that a little too seriously, so
yeah.
We'll move on to something that's far from serious.
There
were several ads during the Doral tournament, because Ford sponsored it, showing Penn and Teller doing golf tricks with magic tricks or whatever with Johnny Miller, always being the butt of the joke. My favorite one, because it's something that you could do, was this putting one, where Penn put a styrofoam cup over his golf ball. It's about 2 feet from the hole, 3 feet from the hole or so. He said, I'm going to make this putt without touching the cup. You know, Johnny Miller puts up a whole bunch of disclaimers, like no strings, no magic, no animals, no explosions, whatever. And then Penn steps up, swings his putter through the air near the cup, goes, yes, it's in. And then, you know, Teller goes up and picks the ball out of the hole, and Johnny Miller goes, that's not the right ball, and he picks up the cup, at which point Penn knocks the real ball into the hole and, you know, wins the bet. So... it reminds me of the old drinking thing where someone has to drink two big glasses of beer before someone can drink two shots. And the rule is you can't touch each other's stuff. So you drink the one glass of beer, you put it down over the other person's shot glass, and then you can take as long as you want to finish your second beer. Anyway, we're going to link to this only so you can look at the putting thing and maybe win a couple bucks from dummies on the golf course someday.
I think the more amazing trick was, I think Penn and Teller were the ones that made Mickelson's game disappear.
That could be.
That was pretty bad anyways.
I'm pretty sure Ford, of course, is pulling out. They are no longer sponsoring the event next year. It'll be the CA the World Golf Championship. It used to be the Amex, will be the CA, whatever, the Computer Associates Championship or whatever next year.
It's because they're sick of giving Tiger's caddies cars.
That's right. Stevie Williams has quite a few nice Fords sitting in his... Jeff, he lives near you, doesn't he? I think he has a home in Portland.
Is that right? I didn't know that. I didn't know where he lived.
So... instead of
a couple hours from me.
Instead of shipping his cars to New Zealand, he's just left them at his second home in Portland.
So, rough life.
Yeah. Portland's pretty close to Nike headquarters, right?
Yeah, that's where Nike is, yep.
Well, there you go. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, it probably does.
All right. Well, that was episode 16. We want to thank Doug Hardman from CameronCollector.com. We'll link to him in our show notes as well. And as always, Jeff and Everardo, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guys, take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.